The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, on the other side of the glass. John producing and engineering the show. We keep him on the other. No, he could be very well on this side of the glass, but traditionally in broadcasting, the engineer producers on the other side of the glass. And we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, Monday, the 9th of September, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We usually, thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we get the program posted usually within a couple of hours of its conclusion. So it's up there usually by mid-afternoon. The live line number, if you'd like to join us with our comments on our Monday political face-off, 790-2040. The Monday political face-off this week features John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor a few years ago. Jeff Rogers, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, did you have a great weekend?
Wonderful weekend. I hope you did.
I did, and I could see the difference in the sky. You know, if you live in this town long enough and you live in the desert long enough, you see the difference with the light.
The light this morning was a fall light.
There you go.
It was a fall light. I noticed that.
You. So you will second my motion.
Absolutely.
And Jeff, too. Jeff,
had a nice weekend. We got a really heavy rainstorm early yesterday.
It was nice to wake up to that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice to wake up to that. It cooled things off a little bit and was able to get out to my horses and at least turn them loose for the day. And it was a nice weekend. There's a hint of fall in the air.
Yes, there is.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, now through Saturday, September 27th. Moe's is showing and selling my collection. We've got some beautiful old prints and maps. Some of them are over 150 years old from around the world. There's 24 pieces in the collection. We've kept the price point very, very reasonable. Everything's under $300, and 100% of the proceeds from the sale will go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. So please take a look at a sampling of the collection now posted on Moe's Facebook page. Moe is located at the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge next to Copenhagen. Looks like there will be, well, in fact, it was confirmed today by Kelly Ward, who is the chair of the Arizona Republican Party, John Munger, that there will be no Republican presidential primary in this state.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. The Democrats have done it before also. They did it in 2012 when they had an incumbent president, and they did it again in 1996 when they had an incumbent president, Bill Clinton. So this is just what happens pretty much when you have an incumbent president. Everybody rallies around behind the president. You don't need a primary. We don't want to encourage a Arizona primary. So that happens in both parties, and it's not surprising.
But you've got some candidates.
Well, yeah, the difference here being that in those two instances with Clinton and with Obama, they had no announced opposition. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't really much need to have a primary. Here there are at least three Republicans who are actively campaigning. You've got former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld, who held the governorship there for two terms. You've got former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, who was kind of famous as one of the Tea Party instigators in 2009 and 10. And you got South Carolina former governor and two-term congressman Mark Sanford, who is also announced that he will be running. I think he announced this weekend. So you do have three opponents who are going to announce and try to get on the ballot in every state that they can. And, I think the Republicans, frankly, would be wise to have some primaries going on so that this president, who's so volatile, if he implodes before the convention, they have some options to go with. I mean, I think it would be advisable because he's getting, crazier by the minute, and the things he's doing are getting more dangerous by the minute. I mean, here was a guy who was inviting terrorists, Talibans, to Camp David, you know, the place where George W. Bush planned the response to the 9/11 attacks. You know, that's absolutely outrageous that he's trying to bring terrorists into to a site like that.
And the timing, or even negotiating with them. Right before 9/11.
Yeah, we were 2 days before 9/11, and he was going to have a secret confab with the Taliban at Camp David. I mean, there's something going terribly wrong in this man's mind.
Is there, John, do you think something's going terribly wrong in as Jeff says, this man's mind?
Nah, absolutely not. There's no evidence of that. And I note that that conference is not going to be held. He was thinking about something, but people think about a lot of things. It's not going to happen. The Democrats will always come up with some problem they see with Trump. You know, if Trump made all the gaffes that Joe Biden makes, people would be saying Trump is crazy over that. You know, they're just saying Joe Biden's not too smart and makes mistakes. But if Trump were doing the same, made the same kind of mistakes Biden make, the Democrats would be going nuts over that. The Democrats are just in hysteria. You've got a president who's producing all across the board. He's got an economy that's booming. The unemployment rate for blacks and Hispanics is at an all-time low unemployment rate. You've got the labor participation rate going on. You've got no new wars. You've got the North Koreans stopping sending major ballistic missiles across the Sea of Japan. They're only shooting off short-term missiles. Today it was announced that the North Koreans want to get back and meet with him. We've got the somebody, Trump, finally facing up to the Chinese unfair trade practices issues.
So you don't think he's unstable?
I think he's doing a great job. And I think the Democrats are hysterical because he's doing such a great job. They've just got Trump syndrome and they just don't know what to do about it because he's solving all these problems. He's solving the border problems are being reduced. He's got people now waiting in Mexico instead of in the United States to come across the border. He's getting the wall up. The number of illegal immigrants is down.
All right.
what more can you ask for?
Well, let's first start off with Sharpie Week.
I mean, oh, Jeff, your nickel dime.
He went unhinged for six straight days over the incident with the Sharpie pen where he drew, and White House people are saying that it was him who drew that mark to show Alabama was threatened by it.
Oh, no, he brought that into the cone of possibility.
But Noah, yes. Noah came out. The national
upon hit, and now they're having to investigate that, saying that basically that was illegal what they did to try to back up the president and you, in a lie.
And you guys,
and what about North Korea? North Korea is firing up missiles at will.
No, they're firing off. They're firing off small,
threatens
short,
the entire world short, economy, John. This tariff war is going to bring down the entire world economy. It's already showing signs of slowing down the American economy. We had the lowest job creation in a year for August.
Our economy is booming. Booming compared to all of the economies around the world are tanking,
part of the reason they're tanking is because of the tariff war that he declared and started.
That
and
is not
economists worldwide
Jeff,
are deeply concerned.
You
about
have
this
no
economy.
Basis for that. If anyone would have a problem with the tariff war, it'd be us, and we aren't having a problem with it.
Ask the farmers in the Midwest.
The farmers in the Midwest are supporting. You look at the polls; they are supporting Trump.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. They're backing.
They were for a while, but now the polls are showing them abandoning him at a rapid rate.
That is not what the polls are showing.
Yeah, they're showing in Indiana where
Jeff,
I'm from.
Jeff, if the best you can come up with is Trump do a circle on a map that included Alabama as the far southeast corner.
That was pretty crazy him drawing it, but his behavior over six straight
you guys
days
are
where he wouldn't let go of it.
You are truly hysterical.
How do you explain how he won't let go of little things like that when all he had to say was, I misspoke, it wasn't going to touch Alabama.
Jeff.
Bam, end of story,
and
John.
You guys
a normal
are, person and you guys
with
are running,
normal
and you guys
mind
are running
that.
A candidate who doesn't even know what state he's in. And he doesn't, he lies about events.
We have 20 candidates right now.
Well,
unfortunately, we got
one that's way ahead, Joe Biden, and he doesn't even know what state he's in. He tells stories that are out and out lies about his brave.
So, John, you're saying his what is he on the all there is kind of what I'm hearing.
What I'm saying is if Trump were anywhere near as bad as Biden, the Democrats would have a reason to go crazy. But the best they can come up with is this Sharpie gate.
Something every week, John.
Oh,
he is completely unhinged.
You guys are so out of it.
You guys need a backup plan, John. That's
in
what the Republicans need.
In case he goes off completely.
I'm really concerned that you need a backup plan.
We got a candidate that has more energy than candidates half his age. He's doing great. He's doing everything I want him to do. The Republican base loves him. And we don't want or need a primary. You decide what you guys, if you can ever figure out a candidate who's not a left-wing socialist to run.
I don't think we have any candidates that'll line their pockets with taxpayer money.
Trump, you have no evidence he's lining his pockets with taxpayer money.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. Jeff Rogers and John Munger with us, the Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with John and Jeff. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers seated to my left and John Munger to my right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com. Jeff, what are the Democrats going to do? It looks like the Biden, Joe Biden, has pretty darn good numbers when you ask folks, Democrats, nationwide. He does very well polling. But when you get into these individual states, like Iowa coming up and some of the others, it shows it's very close.
It's going to be very close on a state-by-state basis. National polling shows him way ahead of the other Democrats. And in some states, you'll see, like South Carolina, which has a very large African-American population that votes Democratic. It shows him way ahead there. But then when you get into Iowa, it's very tight. I mean, he's just a few points ahead of Sanders and Warren. So, you know, as we get into these primaries, it's going to be close. And he has some vulnerabilities. He's one of the older candidates there, and sometimes doesn't come off as sharp as some of the other ones. And that's, you know, a legitimate vulnerability that I think he has to deal with. And, I'm not sure exactly how he handles it, you know, but, you know, age affects us all. I don't have quite the memory I had 10 years
not
ago.
Not me.
And,
John, you're still as sharp as the...
it'll be fascinating to watch it play out.
So my question, Jeff, are we past the point of no return on this group? I mean, is anybody out there
going to run?
Well, they did.
You got anybody else?
I don't think you're going to see any new names emerge. Tom Steyer, I read this weekend, has qualified for that October debate. He's not going to be in the September debate.
He's dropped out.
Steyer?
No, Steyer is the...
He dropped out.
No, I think he is still...
No, Steyer, he just hit the qualification to make the debate stage for the October.
And he's like a billionaire?
An
investment billionaire.
Lots
and lots of money.
So this is it, pretty much.
What you see is what you get. I'm surprised more of the people who didn't make the stage for this upcoming debate haven't dropped out, because they're just not getting any traction. You know, we're down to, what I think is probably the 8 to 10 finalists here, and the rest of the people need to go home. I mean, it's Marianne Williamson. Right up there with Trump. You know, she didn't make a prediction that Alabama was going to get hit, but she said that we could get rid of the hurricane with our mind control.
Yeah, mind control could move the hurricane.
Good Democrat. She's right in there with the rest of them.
Yeah, so, you know, some of these people's candidacy is slightly more than a joke.
But is anybody moderate like Biden in that field?
Well, Bullock, the former governor or current governor of Wyoming. I mean, you know, he's a pretty moderate.
Isn't he Montana?
I'm sorry.
Montana.
He's a pretty moderate guy, and I think he's been one of my favorites in this race from the very beginning.
You like Amy Klobuchar, too, don't you?
I like Klobuchar as well. I think that would be a heck of a ticket if the two of them were on that. They could deliver the Midwest and many of the other states that are very difficult sometimes for
us to win. I think they're
going to win.
If I had to make a bet right now, I'd bet Warren's going to win. She's going to be the presidential candidate.
And who would run it with her?
Well, she'd pick some other wacko, and they'd give free, open the borders and free medical care.
I tell you one thing, Warren would do is she'd mop the stage with Donald Trump.
I'll tell you, like,
my prediction is that Donald Trump won't debate. Prediction is that he's going to back out of the debates because he knows he's going to get trounced.
Nah,
and he's going to try to run sort of what Jimmy Carter did. In the sort of Rose Garden strategy.
I'll bet you
from
nickel on that.
Did Carter
Trump,
do
Trump
debates?
Will debate.
He did a few, but not much. He really tried to run. I mean, he tried to explain it because it was the hostage crisis, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, debating was sort of beneath him at that time. And, I don't think that
the problem
worked,
is you guys don't
well
understand Donald Trump. All you do is hate him. He will be in there running for president harder than anybody else, with more energy than anybody else. And the public is not going to buy into Elizabeth Warren's open borders policy, her policy of giving free medical care to the entire rest of the world. Anybody who wants to come to the United States,
how about forgiving all free, student loan debt?
Forgiving all student loans, trillions of dollars more for that, trillions of dollars for the Green New Deal.
But she has a following.
She has a very
within the Democratic Party.
She's very smart. She's got some of Bernie Sanders' ideas that are a little out there, and she's going to have to moderate. She's going to have to moderate some of these ideas.
The American public isn't buying into
that. I don't think any candidate can win the race if you're telling people, "I'm going to take away your medical care,"
right?
That you've bargained for and that your union bargained for, or that your employer.
Yeah, but she's for.
And if anybody has that in their final platform, is not going to beat the Republicans.
But she's already said she's for
Donald Trump is such a weak candidate in the final analysis that anybody might beat him. And my prediction, John, is that he will implode sometime between now and the convention.
I don't think so.
Republicans are going to be, you know, desperately looking
Let's
for some way out of this
accurate. Mess.
Let's
put it more accurate. Your prediction, your hope is that he'll implode. He's not going to
I thought
implode.
It might happen last week.
The best you guys can come up with is... is that he drew Alabama, included Alabama in the maps.
John, it's not what he drew. It's his reaction to these things. You know, he can't ever be wrong. He can't ever apologize. You know, all he had to say was, I misspoke, and that was gone. But instead, he dragged it on for six more days,
tweeting all about it. It's a non-issue. Nobody cares, Jeff. You care.
We care about his state of mind, John.
His state of mind is almost meaningless. His state of mind has produced the best economy we've had in a couple of decades. Has produced no new
that
wars.
Started in 2009 and just continued on the same trajectory.
We've got no new wars. We've got no red lines in the sand like Obama.
Okay, let me bring it back, Jeff. If Democrats want to win, and I know they do want to win.
Oh, sure, they want power. They're all about power.
They want to win, but don't they realize that this giving away stuff is going to really, really hurt them?
I think there are many that do realize that. There are some that don't, and I think Bernie Sanders is one for sure that doesn't.
But when you poll
that.
Nationwide and Biden does well, it shows
that's why he polls well nationwide.
There you go.
They don't perceive him as having dangerous ideas that are going to tank the economy or affects people's lives like that. And so that's why he's so popular. And if he maintains this popularity and wins, then he'll be a formidable candidate.
No, he won't. There's no way that Joe Biden's going to stand up against Donald Trump in debates. Trump will eat him for lunch.
What would that be like in a debate?
Donald Trump would eat Joe Biden for lunch. While Joe Biden was not off making gaffes and trying to remember what state he was in during a debate and trying to tell true stories instead of his lies about all his heroic events that never happened. And while Joe Biden is, and while Donald Trump is reminding the public that Joe Biden has never done anything since he was 28 years old other than be in Congress, who the hell wants a candidate who's never done anything?
Well, we've seen what a candidate can do to America.
What has Joe Biden ever accomplished in government or the military? Nobody can answer that
question.
Well,
he's been in public service.
Well, that's not an accomplishment.
I don't think America's ever going to elect a president like Trump who has no experience. I mean, that is...
Trump has now got the experience of being president.
We've learned from this mistake, and that's why he can't even get over 40% approval ratings now.
Yeah, well, you watch him. I've already told you I predict Trump is going to win. I think he's going to win handily. And I think that if Joe Biden is the opponent, Trump will eat him for lunch in the debate stage. And I also think, incidentally, as you've kind of alluded to by implication, Bill, I think Biden's support is very wide and an inch deep. You go to these states and they've interviewed people. They don't really love Joe Biden. They're not going to go out of their way to support Joe Biden. They're not going to bring their neighbors to the polls to vote for Joe Biden because they don't like him. There's no fire in the belly. Let me tell you what.
You're right to some degree about that, but let me tell you what. You know, this American public hates Donald Trump so much that he if an election were held today, he would lose 60-40.
No,
I mean,
he
that's how bad it is out there, and the hatred for this man. And he generates more of it every day.
Now, you guys hate him. The Democrats hate him because the
American public
you were supposed
him.
To have an anointed crooked the politician, last, another last, Democratic crooked politician, and Hillary
he
Clinton.
39%
he's cleaned out.
Rating.
He's cleaned
39%.
Out. 39%. No, he's actually polling
he's
closer.
He's the only
to
president
50%
in
amongst
he's the
likely
only
voters.
President
he's
po- in history polling to never get above 50%.
He's
only one.
He's polling. He's polling close to 50% in the likely voters.
Independents too.
And independents. Mm. He's winning independents.
I don't know what polls you're looking at, John, but I'm looking
about
looking,
women. You're looking.
What
you're
about
looking,
women?
You're looking at, well, what about
I'm
men?
At the real clear politics.
Look at the men. The men are
average.
Supporting Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, people always talk about the women. Well, the men, let's talk about the men. The men are supporting Trump.
Okay.
And, yeah, some of the women are soft on Trump, but the men love Trump. So, you know, you get a lot of these things. He's, for example, he's brought support from the African Americans up to where we have typically gotten about 5%. We're now getting something around 25% of the blacks and 50% of the Hispanics.
Guys, we have to take a hard break. CBS News is coming up here in about 30 seconds.
Oh, hell, this is more interesting than CBS News.
Thank you, John and Jeff. Gentlemen, thanks a lot.
Thank
They're
you.
Running Monday, news on the half hour now?
Yeah, we're doing a one-minute CBS
You're
update.
You're going to give us up for a one-minute CBS.
And let me quickly tell folks that Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Stop by between now and September 27th. Check out the Buckmaster collection of beautiful old maps and prints. And proceeds from the sale go to the Friends of Pima Animal Care Center. We'll be right back on Buckmaster after we do take that break on CBS News.
CBS News Update. Two more crew members of that cargo ship, Golden Ray, have now been rescued, leaving just two still trapped in the hull of the 656-foot car carrier that capsized off the coast of Georgia yesterday.
What they have to figure out now is how to get these crew members out of this vessel. It's massive. What is really important right now to keep it stable so these Coast Guard members can get into the hull to extract the crew members.
And correspondent Meg Oliver.
All four of them are from South Korea. Earlier today, we went over to the Seafarer Center, and we talked to a woman there who helped with the other crew members who were rescued on Sunday. She said that they were in good spirits. She said many of them were Filipino. Some others were South Korean as well.
It's still unclear why the ship capsized as it left port Sunday, possibly from a shifting of its cargo of more than 4,000 vehicles. The wreck of the ship is blocking one of the busiest ports in the nation. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Chenevay.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I was over there on Saturday. Jan and Jack, the owners, have done just a beautiful job with their 13-acre site. It's now home not only to all of the wonderful plants that Green Things, I bought a beautiful rose plant over there on Saturday, but they've got just every imaginable plant that you could want, but also Zocalo is over there. For years, Zocalo was over by Country Club and Broadway, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Much of it is handcrafted. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. So it's Green Things and Zocalo, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website is Green Things AZ. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is four-star General John Wickham, who was commander-in-chief of the United Nations Command and commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's author of Korea on the Brink, which chronicles the dangerous period in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. In 1983, President Reagan appointed General Wickham Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, a 1950 graduate of West Point. Former social sciences instructor there, General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the United States Army. General Wickham was a combat commander in Vietnam, where he was critically wounded. He was twice awarded the Silver Star for battlefield valor, as well as the Bronze Star for valor, the Purple Heart, 11 Air Medals, and four Legions of Merit. General Wickham joins us now on the live line from his home in Oro Valley. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your great program. It's so valuable.
Thank you very much, General. The situation here, it was discovered, well, the president actually announced over the weekend that he had been planning to hold a secret meeting with the Taliban at Camp David this weekend. He did cancel it after attacks overseas left 12 dead, including one American. Were you surprised that that meeting would be held at Camp David?
No, I think that's an important dimension. Camp David is a significant place, and it would indicate that we were going to get a profound agreement with the Taliban. The downside, of course, is no movement on troop withdrawal. It's the longest war we've been in, some 16, 17, maybe 18 years, and we're not getting anywhere. The fact that the president called it off could be leverage to force the Taliban to be much more compromising with the Afghan government, and that may be useful to get the Taliban to bend over more. But I don't see progress happening soon there. My belief is that we need to recognize it, I think, as American citizens, that the war in Afghanistan is a regional war that affects Russia, Britain, China, India, and Pakistan, and the United States. And we need to have all of those countries join in some sort of regional coordination and sharing in the burden of the expenses. We're paying $14 to $15 billion a year to support the Afghan government. That kind of money should be shared by other countries. They're not doing it at all. And the trade should be shared by other countries, and that's not happening at all. So we're not doing it regionally as we should. Unfortunately, the State Department, as I mentioned on your program, is only 60% manned with professionals, and we don't have ambassadors in every country that we should have. So we don't walk the talk about diplomacy in this administration, unfortunately.
General Wickham, there are some reports out of Afghanistan that many over there are welcoming this kind of cooling off period. They were worried that the United States would sign a ceasefire, but the Taliban would continue their war against the Afghan government and people. As you know, General, the Taliban controls, I've seen maps that show it's more than 50% of the country. There are areas there that are just not safe for anybody to go in, especially American forces at this point.
That's exactly right. You know, the word Taliban means student. And it grows out of the period when the Russians invaded Afghanistan and the students throughout Afghanistan were outraged at the behavior of the Russians, destroying Afghan society and Afghan values. And this is with the origin of the Taliban and the resistance to the Russians. And, of course, it has morphed now into a political structure that seeks to have control over Afghanistan. And there's a Taliban element also in Pakistan. Pakistan serving as sort of a sanctuary where Taliban fighters can get rearmed and repaired. And that's been the problem. Pakistan has not cut that off, and they should do it. And the only way we're going to get that done is have a regional meeting and regional coordination. And unfortunately, we have not done this, and we're not getting anywhere. This administration and the previous administration did not recognize the regional aspect.
790-2040, if you would like to ask General Wickham a question about Afghanistan or any foreign affairs, he'd be happy to entertain that question. 790-2040. 18 years in Afghanistan, and of course the conflict began after 9/11, which we are going to mark here this week. Tell me, General Wickham, was there anything that we could have done early on after 9/11 in Afghanistan that might have stemmed some of the, that might not have prolonged this thing like we have seen? What are some of your thoughts about that?
You're exactly right, Bill. I think it's a very thoughtful observation. There are things we could have done. As I mentioned, we could have gotten into this structure in a regional way, rather than brought India and brought Pakistan, brought the Russians back in, and brought Britain into negotiations to settle, to come up with opportunities for the future. We've not done that. And we also could have done a better job of training the Afghan military. Afghanistan does not really have an air force the way they should have. And we could have done that earlier, building an Air Force capability, also building a support structure, intelligence, as well as maintenance capability in the Afghan forces. We've not done that. And we could have started that much earlier, and that would have enabled us to get out sooner. So there are a lot of mistakes that have been made. I've known people that have worked over there as civilians and tried to help the Afghan government, and that's been valuable. But we could have done a better job if we had gotten in there and done it in an organized regional way that we should have. We should have learned the lesson from Vietnam that the United States does not have the solution to world problems, and we cannot do it ourselves. We need to work with other nations in a cooperative way, and we're not doing that adequately now.
You know, I was just reflecting about the United States not learning lessons, General Wickham. The United States did not learn the lesson of the French experience, their disaster in Indochina in the 1950s. The United States thought we could do it better than the French. Then we did not learn the lesson of the Russians in Afghanistan. Am I on to something here, General?
You're exactly on to it, Bill, as usual, based on your historical background and your reading. Exactly. And Vietnam is a perfect example of that. And, you know, early 1950s, when we went into in Indochina, and
yes, we went in the 50s in a support role to the French, but it all ended in 1954 when the French took that horrible hit at Diem Den Phu. I don't know if I pronounced it correctly, but the American presence continued on even after the French pulled out.
Yeah, exactly right, Bill. And the French told us diplomatically and militarily that you need to get the Vietnamese to fight the war. And we went in there in the mid-50s, doing it the way the French said. But then we got impatient and
yes,
said, you're not winning the battles, so step aside, little Asian people. We're going to show you how to win this war.
Yep.
And that's when we sent in five divisions, and it wasn't until later on when Westmoreland finally came back and eventually asked for more troops to get us up to almost to 1 million troops that the president said, no, Vietnamize the war. Turn it back to the Vietnamese the way it should have been originally. We need that kind of presidential leadership that understands our role in the world.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Bill, as you understand in spades, we are backing out of a leadership role in the world. We should get involved more in organizing where we're headed.
All right, let's take Jeff's question before we take the break. I know we're running a little late, but I don't want to hold him through the break. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon, General. I've never understood exactly why the Russians meddled in Afghanistan. I mean, of all the places in the world that would there would be no productive reason to do that, they did it. And I suppose I could ask the same thing of ourselves, but that's the second part of the question. The real thing that sort of ignited this mess originally, as I recall, was Russia. Why in the world would they do that?
Okay, good question, Jeff. Thank you.
Jeff, excellent question, and very thoughtful to reflect on that. Afghanistan is an unusual nation in terms of its geography and its location. It's a road, a path into Europe and a path into Asia. And so there are some natural resources in Afghanistan, but it is the geography that is significant. And the Russians went in there to protect their southern borders and to acquire perhaps some land, more land, some capabilities. The Russians have always been seeking access to the south, and that's why they've been involved with Syria and that over the years, historically. And they've got a naval base in Syria, as you know. So
okay,
the Russians moved in there for strategic reasons, and when 9/11, because of the origin of the attacks, came from there, that Pakistan had become a haven for terrorism And it could become again a haven because it's not a nation that is organized with leadership that will protect itself. So there's a likelihood this is going to continue unless we as a nation begin to realize, as I go back to my point about regional business, that we organize as a regional solution to the problem of that part of the world and realize that that's the only way to do it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, and then we'll come back with a few minutes more with General Wickham, 790-2040. We'll take the break, then be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only a three-hour drive, and here's the good news. The temperature during the midday over there, mid-80s, so they're having very beautiful weather. So it's going to be cooler because of their elevation at about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So I strongly suggest a visit to their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of good information about where to stay. There's some great places in the area and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We'll be finishing up our conversation with General Wickham, but there's still time if you would like to call us at 790-2040 to get a question in from listeners with General Wickham. General Wickham, North Korea fired off a series of missiles in recent months, at least 18 now since May. The president has repeatedly dismissed their importance as short-range and very standard tests, he called them. Are you concerned about this new series of missiles being fired?
Yes, I am, Bill, and you touched on an important subject. And I think Americans need to be much more aware of the potential threat to their children and grandchildren from North Korea's behavior. North Korea is managed by more than just Kim Jong-un. are elites in North Korea that are managing the country. Kim Jong-un is a figurehead leader, but he is a leader. And so the elites are ones that are pushing, and they have pushed Korea into the situation of a nuclear power, and they, in my humble opinion, are not going to give up their weapons at all, although we can contain them. Now, the problem with these missiles, North Korea has been doing shooting medium-range missiles, short-range, is that the missiles can easily be rejiggered to a longer range. And so they are modern, and they are dangerous and difficult to shoot out of the sky. So it is a threat. And what are the North Koreans doing that for? They are trying to pressure and threaten South Korea into disconnecting itself from the United States. Stop coordinating with the United States military exercises, that kind of thing. That's never going to happen. South Korea needs the U.S. military to work with it to defend itself. And South Korea is one of the remarkable diplomatic success stories in Asia of the United States. It's a democracy like the United States. It's an economic giant, and it's done very well, and it can continue to do well. So we need to maintain our connections with South Korea. And so this pressure from North Korea is all wrong. And we, unfortunately, do not have the wisdom or the capability to deal with North Korea the way we should.
I worry, and I think the Japanese are very worried about this, too. What about a mistake? What about an accident with one of these missiles being fired? That would flare up that whole region, General Wickham.
You're exactly right, Bill. That, of course, is part of the downsides of the current endeavor by the United States, Russia, and China to downsize our nuclear arsenal. We are now manufacturing nuclear weapons that are half the size of the ones used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Why do that? Well, perhaps it's economic, perhaps it's modernization. But the risk is that it will make the use of those weapons much more attractive because less collateral damage. And the accidents can occur. You're exactly right, as you do training. When I my first tour of duty in Korea as a platoon leader, my platoon, it was armed with small missiles, nuclear missiles.
Really?
And we took them up to the DMZ. Yes, we didn't fire any, but we did take them up there. And I wrote articles for the infantry magazine about that, that I was concerned about the risk of accidents that could start some of a war over there by just by fooling around with weapons. And so there's a risk. You're exactly right, Bill. There's a risk that can grow out of having this capability and not having adequate leadership to deal with it. So, and here we are at the same moment. The president has just created a sixth armed service, the Space Command, that the Air Force had been doing all along very well, conducting research and control of space operations. But now we've got another service. And by creating another service, it does make some sense in terms of focusing resources and programs. But the overhead that comes from creating another service with generals and or admirals and then non-commissioned officers and enlisted is going to be very expensive for the American people in the Defense Department. And also at the same moment, Bill, as you understand in spades, we're building the wall with Mexico, and we're paying for that wall in large part by diverting money from the Defense Department and the Veterans Affairs Department to do it. And I think it's illegal, and I think it's unjust. And I've already seen the impact of that diversion on my retired pay.
Wow.
So the administration does not walk the talk. The Congress doesn't either, about caring for veterans and caring for our defense.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to have to leave it right there. Good conversation with you today. Very much appreciate it. You're an amazing man. I tell you, for 90, 91 now, is that right?
And going on 92.
Oh, my.
Lenny Bill, you're one of your supporters, the RTA. As you know, years ago, I was involved in that Citizens Committee for 3 years with the RTA, and we're the ones that drafted the law that's existed today.
Yep.
They do marvelous work.
Yep.
For Arizona is way ahead of other states in terms of technology, and it's because of quality activities like that.
All right, General Wickham, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it very much. Thanks.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks a lot. General Wickham, always a pleasure to have him on the program. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my fine engineer-producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.